Welcome to the podcast, everybody. As always, there's a couple things we'd like you to do before we get started. First,
go fuck yourselves.
Go to our Facebook page, like and share the Facebook page. Then head over to Twitter, follow us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is
@comesnaturalpod.
That is correct. Then you head on over to iTunes, subscribe to the podcast, rate the podcast, and review the podcast, and tell all your friends to do the same. Now we'll get started. Let's go, Cody.
Welcome to Comes Naturally. We are
Joe.
Sorry. Mike.
I'm Cody.
Episode 3, bitches.
Star Wars Episode 3, if you didn't know
what we're talking about. Yeah, this is like episode way the fuck more than 3 on the podcast. Star Wars Episode 3, we got there. We got to the
Revenge of the Sith.
We finished the halfway point, and we finally got to the good one out of the prequels, and there's some actual positive stuff to talk about this week. I'm excited.
Well, from two of us.
Yeah.
Because Negative Nancy over here is still going to shit on it.
So. I am. Yeah, and I almost fell asleep halfway through the movie.
Well, it's because you're a big, tired, tall bitch.
This is semi-true.
Sorry. I was trying not to laugh at it. The big, tall. Oh, that's fantastic.
It's only semi-true.
Right. So, first impressions. Joe.
Really?
Yeah, man.
Might as well get the negative out of the way.
So, for the most part, this movie sucked. It did. The only redeeming quality to me for this movie is the last like 30 minutes of it, because it actually leads up into the final battle and you finally get the transition to Darth Vader. And at this point in time, it's probably Hayden Christensen's best acting in the whole entire series, because that angsty... That was awful, Mike.
It was so loud. It was so loud and bubbly.
Sounded like you threw up a little.
Yeah, dude.
Nope, I'm good. Way too much food. Drink too much soda. I'm good.
All right. Drinks more soda?
Yeah, yep. Exactly.
So good.
Yeah. So it's actually his best acting of the whole entire trilogy. Jesus, Mike.
Playing the role best, of gassy bitch dog is Mike today.
I was about to say best acting, and then all turned into gassy.
God damn it, where was I?
It
was the best acting of all the three movies that he's done. Well, two movies actually, because he didn't do the first
one. True, you can't blame him for that one.
No.
Even though you want to.
I want to.
So bad he ruined the first one. It wasn't in.
Right?
Was he even announced at that point?
No, I don't think so.
Like, was the casting done?
No, not yet.
But a lot of the dialogue still suffers from what they did with the first couple of movies. They try and make it like a buddy cop thing, you know? The beginning really felt like they tried to Lethal Weapon it, you know, that relationship that Riggs and Murtaugh have, where they're just joking with each other and having fun.
One's a suicidal maniac. Hot shot, and the other is an old black guy close to retirement.
Exactly. It really does kind of feel like that. It does.
I don't know about that.
But yeah, so it wasn't until like the last 30 minutes of the movie that Hayden Christensen, that angsty, angriness, actually finally is good for his character. The rest of it is just complete garbage. The CG is a lot better in this movie. I think parts of it.
Overall, better than the other two.
Yeah, obviously, time moved on. They got better at it. Things got better, but
some glaring
pasting of what's his name's head onto just the people's bodies.
Not even that, because you can tell sometimes the bodies are even not even real; they're just CG'd.
Yeah, and it's like, well, why didn't you
just standing there for dialogue too?
Yeah. You could just have that dude there.
It looked god awful, just completely awful. And then the overarching story of the whole trilogy, I like, but it's some of the smaller sequences that are supposed to move that arc on. I absolutely hate. And again, here is the interaction between what is now Emperor Palpatine and Anakin, where he just has this click moment where he's like, "And I'm bad."
There's more to it than that, but yes, it is very quick.
It is very quick, and I can understand that. Look, Emperor Palpatine was probably influencing him a little here and there. I'm sure he's the one that helped him.
Absolutely was.
He absolutely was
shown in it.
Yeah, but there's the instance where he has the ability to basically kill Emperor Palpatine or help Mace Windu kill Emperor Palpatine, or what he ends up doing, which is just letting Mace Windu get killed, and then suddenly he's like, yeah, and then he's suddenly like, oh, I'm with you now, Emperor Palpatine.
No, that wasn't, you're oversimplifying it a lot. There's a whole lot rolling into it.
Yeah. Not just
first off, he's having the nightmares in the second movie about his mom dying, and ends up dying exactly like he saw. And then he started having nightmares about what's her name?
Padme
dying. And so he knows, he's like, oh fuck, she's gonna die too. And Palpatine knows, and so is telling him, with the power of the dark side, you can get the power to save her. And that's the biggest, like, not the only reason, but that's the biggest reason, because Mace Windu wanted to kill him, not just send him to trial, and which he seemed to be okay with the ideal of just sending him to trial, but Windu wanted to kill him. He was like, no, I need him alive. I need to learn, and chopped Windu's arm off. So it wasn't just like, oh, fuck you, dude. Now I'm with this bad guy. Like, there was more.
Yeah, but he still folds very quickly into just being like, okay, I'm Darth Vader now. Because I get that. He has that conflict of like, you know, I still want to be a Jedi. I still want to be good. But what Mace Windu is doing, he doesn't believe is actually what the Jedi way was. So he was trying to convince him not to do it. The only way for democracy is to treat all your bad guys with the same amount of justice that everybody should be treated with. But right after that, he just watches this dude kill, just lightning bolt Mace Windu out the fucking window, and then kneels.
Windu could be alive.
And then just kneels. That's all I'm saying.
Lando's dead.
Lando's dad.
Finn's grandfather.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my problem with it. He just suddenly is, instead of being like, well, I'm going to take you in and, you know, still enact the Jedi justice, he literally just bends his knee.
Well, but I mean, once you let a Jedi fucking get killed, like, I think that was the point. He was like, well, it's either be a Jedi and let this dude die, who in his head, which is, you know, dumb on his part, but what he truly believes is the only person that could teach him the ways to keep his wife alive.
But so then once she dies, and
well, obviously he was still misguided about it,
and he still becomes Darth Vader.
Man,
like, it's like, why doesn't he,
Cody?
I see how it is. Just play me off.
No, I'm going to say something what you're talking about. So if you really pay attention to it, obviously, for, I'm guessing, filming reasons, the dream he has of Padme dying is less of a what's going to happen and what's going to happen, because he's going to fall for the dark side. So that's, you see her in dying basically during childbirth because of what he's going to do. So it's seeing his future no matter what. Palpatine uses it against him because Anakin doesn't understand the dream. But what to your point about him just folding quickly, it's not quickly. I mean, it is two movies and many years in the build. Even
but
as a child,
he literally goes from, hey, I want to, because he's lecturing Mace Windu on how, you know,
it was
he has to
that,
bring
though.
Him to trial, and how this is not the Jedi way to kill, to literally being like, okay,
no, it's selfish at that point. He thinks he needs Palpatine to save
Padme. But he can't just
take
in Palpatine on his own?
No, because what happens if Palpatine is behind prison, he won't be able to learn what he needs to learn. And he's not, at that point when Mace Windu, he doesn't just cut his hand off. He says, hey, he's going to kill him. I need him. He's not listening to me. I'm going to stop him from killing him. That's what happens. He's not just like, I'm just going
to
kill him.
He's sitting there arguing that you need to bring him to justice.
Yeah, because he wants that, because what's going to happen is he's going to be able to do it. And when you say, well, he doesn't...
But if he does it, then he's behind bars. I mean, that's...
Well, yeah, what I'm saying is, like, he's going there, and then when he realizes that he won't have the chance to get him when he's behind bars, like, you know, learn from him, and Mace Windu's going to kill him, that's when he chops his hand off. And at that point, the reason he goes to becoming Darth Vader is because he just helped kill a Jedi. And he's like, well, I've pretty much stopped any possibility of me being good at this point.
Well, I killed one guy. Let me go kill a temple full of little children.
Well, at that point, he's in because he does save.
So it was the turning point. It was because
he already knows that he's
a guy and be a Jedi, or help him live and become the dark side. Like once he makes that decision, there's no back and forth on it.
Because Palpatine's gonna give him that power, and he wants that power.
Just don't think it's so black and white.
But you are saying it's black and white. You say it's just like boom, he just changes.
I'm saying he changes. I'm saying the choices he had were more than black and white, because Mace Windu still could have died.
Oh, he had many choices.
And he still could have been like, hey, I'm still taking you in. Yes, this was fucked up, what I aided in this, but let's bring you in.
Yeah, but at that point, he's just like,
he just folds, and at that point, he's fully
convinced that the Jedi are out to fuck him, basically. Yeah. So it was that decision was the last decision to make. Whether Jedi or dark side, that was the last decision to make. There's no more back and forth after he makes that decision, whichever way he goes. So, And it wasn't quick. It was just the last in a series of poor decisions on his part.
And that was his problem throughout the whole entire thing. His character was written so that he just made poor decisions, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I'm not arguing that at all. But what you said is he just decides to just go bad, and he doesn't. It's a very slow burn to like a
downhill
crawl.
There's a lot to it, but at the end, it literally was just click, he's back.
Oh, it's because he fucking helped murder Mace Windu. Well, murder, air quotes, if you can't see us. Because we don't really know if Mace Windu's dead.
He's alive.
But I'm just saying,
he's going to be in the new one.
He might have grabbed a fly-by car, like Anakin and Obi-Wan did in episode 2, but also he only had one shot because he only has one arm to do it, or one hand to do it. He has a second arm, but you know, Nub's not going to be able to grab on anything. But he was electrocuted a lot and then thrown out an open window at a very high level, so like maybe
that's
like
not a good chance.
Hopefully,
I think it's fine.
Hopefully the rain that was coming down, like he's like, oh, this feels, oh shit, I'm falling. Grab. Try to grab with both, and he realized, oh shit, fucking right, he's gone. I gotta use lefty or something. You know, maybe use the force to grab something. I don't know. He could be alive. Strange things have happened. The villains who are, I don't know, cut in half. So you know, whatever. But maybe he's Lando's dad. Maybe he's Finn's grandfather. Who knows? We'll find out on the 18th of next month.
I don't think we're gonna find any of that out.
No. Well, we'll find out who's Finn related to. Cause
that's true.
They kind of hinted at that in the newest TV spots. But other than that, Mike, what'd you think? Oh, you done? Sorry.
There was one more thing I was gonna mention, but now after your whole rant, I can't think of it. No, I literally can't. If it comes back to me, I'll.
It's still not a great movie, but it's much better than the first two. And the action sequences, like there are so many action sequences in this one. And I thought the story moved along better. I thought Anakin was much better in this one than he was the second one. Like I don't even think he was bad acting wise in this one. I thought
there's a couple scenes where it's like, where he's trying
it's very iffy. It's very still some of the aspects of the first movie that he was in. But it does, like I said, it does get better. And then the last half hour, it's much better.
Well, last half hour is much better. But I think throughout, it's still an overall better performance even than the second one. The battles moved along really good.
There's a lot more.
A lot more battles. And I actually, I like this one because it's, I like the fact that the decision making had to come down to one last decision, because the whole time he's battling within himself which way to go, like he wants to do this, but the Jedi keep, you know, like, because there's other factors leading to him too, like there's other times where the Jedi could have thrown him a bone, you know what I mean, and helped him out a little bit that would have made him trust him a little bit, which they didn't have to at all.
But he's never given them a real reason to trust. The things in between, maybe the movies, but a lot of the stuff that he does within these movies are literally like, hey, stay here.
And he doesn't.
Oh, and he doesn't.
Well, but like you have to take into account what's going on when we're not watching the movies
but
in between time frames.
He can't follow orders.
Yeah.
Okay, he can't follow orders, but you also have to look at the fact that they talk about early in this one that he saved Obi-Wan 10 times. You know, he saved his life 10 different times on 10 different missions. Like, obviously, he's doing some good.
No, yeah. And you know what that's I mean? Why he's so, led onto the council. But the thing is that they get that. Trustworthy enough.
Yeah, I totally get that. I mean, but look, like I'm saying, there's other decisions made by the Jedi where, had Mace Windu been like, holy shit, Palpatine's a bad guy. Come with us. Let's go get him.
But it's with his relationship that I totally understand that they wanted to keep him back. Because he is very governed by his emotions. He is.
Yeah. And the other thing, too.
Or if they would have kept Obi-Wan around Anakin, which seems to always calm him down a little bit because he listened to Obi-Wan usually. So,
not anything that we've seen.
No, he does. He does some stuff where against what Obi-Wan's, but Obi-Wan,
he's a much
usually,
calmer.
Yeah, like, he doesn't act rashly, like when he decided to trim Dooku's beard for him. Yeah. Obi-Wan was knocked out,
but Palpatine was Obi-Wan able to wasn't convince there him, you know? To tell him like, Anakin, chill your shit.
Which, just as a side note. Doesn't it not look like he should have just been like chopped in half at that point?
Oh yeah, it totally like looks crushed. Like he lost his legs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Because like, it hits him and drags across his body. His body doesn't move.
And you're
like if it would have just pinned his body down, I'd have been okay. Yeah. But, like hits his legs.
But he's like face down too.
And it looks like
not even that. No, he's on his side.
Yeah.
It's like shattered his hip.
Yeah.
Like Obi-Wan should have been like, yeah, let's get these shit motherfuckers in a wheelchair or a floaty chair like Yoda had, but
he's all like. Doing all the Jedi stuff and jumping around, but he's in a wheelchair. Like,
well, the Jedi also use the Force way more in this one, which has been a complaint of mine in the first two. Like, please use the fucking Force in a fight scene for Christ's sake. So they finally do a little bit more,
but not nearly as much as the fucking Sith, who are like
Sith was like
second
fucking
hand
all about it. Yeah,
Palpatine's the first to throw something at a motherfucker in a fight. Like, every time he's like, I'm almost going to lose this fight. Throw you something at you. You know what I mean? Like,
I like the drama and the tension when they finally, what was the Order 66?
Order 66, yeah.
And that was rough to watch because you're just like, all these Jedi think these guys are on their side and all of a sudden they just get mowed down and it's pretty brutal to watch.
The only thing I never really got about the Order 66 thing is, what exactly is Order 66? Is it to kill a Jedi or is it, like, because that seems like
it's got to be to kill the Jedi.
It's got to be something you think they would know about since they're working with them.
No,
you know what I mean?
I imagine like, it's like RoboCop had like the extra protocols that were not even known to him.
Well, yeah, I know that. But
came into.
But is it like a thing that's triggered? Like once he says Order 66, they just go, blink, I'm gonna kill him.
I'm sure it's something
that's how I read. Because
I mean, obviously they're pretty mindless drones at the point. Like, they walk into gunfire the entire time we see it.
Yeah,
but it's like, dude, like. Hypnotized from like creation, I guess. Really?
Well, I mean, it was probably just a part of their training, and it's just so ingrained into them that when it was called out, it's literally like, oh, okay, Order 66, kill all the Jedi,
and then take them out.
Yep.
Like, yeah, it's like because they're just like, all right, well, fuck it, let's go. Even though they were just like just working next to him, you know what I mean, it's not like it wasn't like a what's that fucking movie that Lee Schreiber was in that Sinatra was into where he tries to kill the president. Manchurian candidate. It's like he doesn't go and like they like there's like all right, let's do it, like, you know what I mean, like that's what kind of got me about it. Like they didn't go like mindless, they didn't just go like we're and then just like twitch and like look all dead. They just like literally just like the one where I kept calling him Kill Bill guy, but I can't remember his name, the dude with the big old forehead and the goatee.
Yeah.
He's walking with him, and they basically top gun him while walking. You know, like they just stop, and he goes, "Wait a minute, that sounds like guns." And he turns around, he gets a couple blocks, and then gets blasted in the gut. But it's like they didn't just like stop and like do that. They're like, and then like adjusted themselves, ready to blast his ass. I was like, dang, because otherwise, if they were just like, they're just like shot. You know what I mean? But like they had conscious decision. I just wondered why, like. If it was like an ingrained thing, or it was like they already knew that was going to happen, like maybe one day you're going to hear Order 66, and what you have to do is kill all the Jedi.
No,
I don't know why that would be a thing that someone. I mean, I know why someone would train them to do that, because obviously they're not really made to be part of the Jedi Order. They were always
Even really want them at all. But
no, Palpatine put them in place. Get that, but it just seems like at one point someone in the Jedi Order should have gone through all the orders that, like, hey, guys, you see Order 66?
That's kind of weird.
Isn't that kind of strange that like our army has that? You know what I mean? No, no one thinks that's okay. I'm sorry.
Nah, we'll just make the third one. Whatever.
Okay. Yeah, but I always thought that was kind of weird. Like Order 66 seems like such a weird thing to have in there as a protocol, but maybe that's just, I mean, there's a lot of other weird plot things that don't make sense, like the fact that Obi-Wan does get sent away and then bad things happen with Anakin every time, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But in this one, the you're talking about, I wanted to say it, the reason I started talking during yours was you said when Mace Windu makes the decision to make Anakin stay, like stay bad boy stay, you were saying earlier, if his decision to then go to Palpatine anyways, that's actually a forced plot in the movie.
It is.
Because if he would have stayed behind, Palpatine would have been killed.
Yep.
And they would have known anything. So he had to go to do that. But counterpoint, I'm not saying this is an end-all, it would have changed everything, but if Mace Windu would have taken him with him, he would have seen Palpatine. Because Mace Windu is told Palpatine's plan, which makes him know he's evil. If Anakin would have heard that same thing, he wouldn't have switched as easy. But also, I don't think he would have switched sides even with Padme, because he essentially tells Palpatine tells Mace Windu that I'm taking over the galaxy, and Anakin would have been like, "Oh, I made some bad choices."
And even Anakin talked about later on in the movie, once he made the switch, he talked about overthrowing
Palpatine
and taking over,
because he doesn't. So
just like, I'm just going to obey this guy. I think it was more like, I'm going to become the most powerful man in the universe and run shit.
And then once Obi-Wan, you know, gets him a little bit shorter, he has no choice other than the fact that he tells him Padme dies, and he does the worst thing possible, is just that awful no. But he essentially just blindly then follows him, because at that point he thinks he killed his wife and his unborn children. He thinks he's the one that brought down the Jedi Order, so he's fully invested at that point. Obviously, he was fully invested anyways, because he killed everybody left at the Jedi Temple.
Well, I'm pretty much pointing out that he literally did all that stuff. It's not that he should think that he did. He did.
Well, that's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is
Padme was alive. She didn't. He didn't.
But,
well, no, he's told that he killed her, remember? Yeah,
but he didn't. He's saying he actually did those things. He didn't kill
her. No, he's talking about what I said. He choked her. But
the reason why she died is because he turned to the dark side.
Well, she gave up.
Died of a broken heart. Had he not literally, figuratively, bitch slapped her.
Yeah,
she wouldn't have died. Yeah. You know,
but like in his head, he's thinking he choked her to death right there.
Yeah, because he didn't know, like, she died during childbirth.
That's what he's led to believe.
Yeah,
Palpatine's like, no, you killed her in your rage, and he's like, well, because he was in rage, he choked her, and then obviously, like, he thinks that's when she died. So he's definitely fully invested, and so from there on out, he just listens to what the Emperor does. And obviously, we all know from the original trilogy, at the very end, he decides to redeem himself by saving Luke, his son.
The very way he could have saved Windu.
Yeah, the exact same way
he could have saved Windu. So it was the switch to be evil, and then later on, the switch to be good, or to do something good.
Yeah.
Do the right thing.
Finally. Only took you fucking 60 years, you selfish prick. In
three movies.
Yeah.
You asshole. But, yeah.
But I was saying is, like, it's weird to think about if Mace Windu would have brought him with him and Palpatine did, which I think Palpatine would have changed what he said to Mace Windu if Anakin was there.
Because it would have been more head games.
Probably. Yeah, it would have been more to convince Anakin that he brought him there to help, you know, Mace Windu brought him there to help, you know, take over, blah, blah, blah. But it's kind of interesting to think about that. But because you need to make the movie shorter, because at that point it's just on a downhill, like towards the end, you know what I mean? It's a forced plot point to have him show up when the fight's already basically over.
I don't
even
think it's that much of a forced plot point. I think everything else is lead you to believe, like, he's not going to just stay there.
Well,
like,
I mean,
of course he's going to go.
Yeah, he's going to go there.
It was really, like, it makes sense that he went after being told he couldn't. And thinking about all the things that could happen.
Because he plays it back in his head.
And in his head, he probably thinks they can't stop him without me kind of thing, you know? Or at least not be able to take him alive without me, because he knows he's the most powerful Jedi at that point.
Sith.
But possibly a Jedi, maybe, at that point. He's more powerful than the Jedi. He knows that.
Because they don't embrace the dark side, which is the more powerful side. And ambitions and fears. Yeah. Yeah.
That's that.
You know what's on theirs?
Nah.
I liked it. This is my favorite of the... I've said it before. This is my favorite of the prequel trilogy. Just because of all the action in it. Plus, the story actually goes somewhere where the other two don't. Like, literally, they don't go anywhere. They're just like, oh, there's a tension going on and all this shuffling of shitty chess. Like, galactic chess. And then it's, in this one, it's just like, no, there's actually... the whole thing was just a ploy because the Emperor wanted to get rid of you all and you played right into his hands like dummies. But also just the fucking, I mean, it's nonstop battles through the whole thing. So opens up with a super awesome starship battle. You get a battle with Grievous, obviously, in Obi-Wan. I mean,
you get the Wookiee battle.
You get the Wookiee cool battle, which is you see
Chewbacca and his dad.
Yep, which I can probably look it up, his dad's name. It's right in front of me, but I can't remember his name, dad's name.
Chewbacca Senior.
Yeah, it's Chewbacca Senior, because Chewbacca's Junior.
Yeah, so the actual action in this movie was awesome. And there were so many lightsaber duels. What?
There should have been more. I actually just read that, too. I was reading deleted scenes that they cut out. They cut out a subplot that was the building of the rebels, by the way, in this movie. So a group of senators, including Padme, Bail Organa, and Mon Mothma, organize an alliance to prevent the Chancellor from receiving a more emergency power.
So that was filmed and cut out? Or
yeah.
Just...
Oh, the subplot was cut out, so it was filmed, it was in there, but they cut it out.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so because they already had essentially the two plots going on. The main one that they've been building and the other two that finally was going somewhere, and then the subplot of the Empire being thrust through the broken shell of the Empire, of the Galactic Senate. But it's funny because, like, they say, even in this, which I said earlier when we were watching, is they cut out a couple death scenes during the Order 66, which would have been obviously the Jedi Temple scenes. And then obviously you saw a couple off-world ones. You saw the attempt on Yoda. You saw a blue-haired lady, the one lady on the speeder bike who died in a fiery wreck. Yeah. You see old man get shot in the gut. You see Predator face, you know, you see a bunch, but like they say they cut out a bunch in the editing room and in the editing of the movie of the Order 66. Like, you would have seen more of the fights. I mean, you see some of them in the holographic tapes that Obi-Wan's watching, but I would have enjoyed seeing a shit ton of Jedi get fucking murdered by the clone troopers and Anakin in the temple. I don't think they would ever showed the kids being murdered the way they were. We saw some of the older ones in the hallway.
We saw one older one get killed.
Yeah, we saw. Yeah, we saw.
He saved Jimmy Smith's life.
Yeah, saves Bail Organa from getting mutilated outside the Senate.
I don't know what you just said, but his name is Jimmy Smith's.
Bail Organa.
Yeah.
Leia's father, adoptive father, where she gets the name Leia Organa from. Senator Bail Organa from Alderaan.
All right.
What was I gonna say? Oh, and the other thing too is, like, Jesus, shitballs, I forgot to turn that down.
Volume down.
Yeah. But I was gonna say, like, the other thing that you kinda wanted to see more in this one too is, like, that what happened to Grievous? Grievous was like the Darth Vader of his time. Like, everyone was afraid of him. But unless you watch the animated show that came out, the animated miniseries and movie that came out, or the miniseries that came out between Clone Wars coming out and Attack of the Clones and this called The Clone Wars, you wouldn't see the fact that Mace Windu is a super badass even before this movie. Because in that one, he's like, all the Jedi are featured in that. And you see Anakin being a super badass and learning all those crazy lightsaber tricks and using the Force, because obviously it's a lot cheaper to do in animation.
Yeah.
But then you see a fight between Grievous and Mace Windu, and Grievous is getting his fucking ass handed to him by Mace Windu, and he runs away. And as he's running away, Mace Windu reaches up with the Force and crushes his chest cavity, causing his failing body, because of the way reason he's in that metal suit, even more so they have to replace it with the gross fish tank with his internal organs that becomes fucking cannon fodder later for Obi-Wan in this one. But you see him before he's hacking and coughing, and he's mowing down clone troopers so in the cartoon.
He was all man at one point.
So before he wasn't machine. So before, his whole story, if I don't think we talked about it yet, because obviously he was in this one. He has the ability to use the Force. The problem is he was never able to wield, like he was never able to do anything with it other than, because he was never trained, other than Force. So he'd be able to just basically use his fists and just punch through people and things, because it's the only way he could exude the Force out of his body. Like, he couldn't manipulate things.
So he's like a Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, basically. So over time, his body started breaking down. So they started basically putting on metal pieces to replace parts that were broken, his hands, his legs, and eventually he just decided to go basically have an exoskeleton. So he has this metal armor that he has, and his arms have been replaced and his legs have been replaced, so it's basically just his torso and his brain, and then they put on a mask on him. That's why you see the fleshy eyes.
Yeah.
And he has that, he coughs because he has
the
lungs.
Close-ups were super dope.
Yeah.
With the really fucked up looking eyes underneath
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And then by the time Clone Wars happens, he looks the way he does, except for he stands more upright and he has a more fuller body because the armor is protecting his fleshy parts.
Okay.
And then Mace Windu crushes that, and the only way to save it is to get rid of the mushy parts, put in the organs he has to have to live inside the fish tank, which seemed like a bad idea. Like, it should have been more protected. But again, you have to have it because Obi-Wan has to be able to pry it open and shoot at it, even though you could have easily cut it. But I'm just saying.
Do they ever, side question, the Emperor is telling Anakin the story about the greatest Sith Lord ever.
Yeah, most powerful Sith Lord.
That was his master, right?
Yes.
What's the story on that? Is there anything else on that outside of the story that was told in the movie?
So that's basically it. There's a lot of people who think that is Revan from Knights of the World Republic, which is a prequel video game, like super prequel, is like thousands of years ahead of time. Eventually he became the main Sith Lord. Everyone thinks that's who it is, but the timeline just doesn't fit, 'cause that dude would have to be 1,000 years old. Like, Yoda's old, like he's 900 something years old.
Yeah, but he was supposedly could create life.
Yeah, so he could create life. So
I mean, it's not too far fetched that he could actually fix himself and keep himself.
And
up.
That's actually where Palpatine got the idea later on in the expanding universe, which I don't know if they're gonna even touch, is the fact that he uses clones to transfer his consciousness back and forth so he can stay alive longer. So eventually he gets out of the gross, wrinkly, burnt body that he had and goes into a younger version of himself, and goes so far as to make a female version that he doesn't take consciousness of. He gives her own consciousness, and he basically trains her in the way of the Force, and she goes after Luke, and then they fall in love and become married. So Luke marries a female version of the Emperor. Yeah, super fucking strange. But yeah, the whole cloning thing is hugely into the I was gonna say Marvel universe, the Star Wars universe, because it keeps poking its dirty head throughout the whole thing. So an Emperor takes the technology, uses it obviously to make himself. Later on, another Sith Lord takes it and starts cloning stormtroopers to use the Force, but he doesn't know how to use it the greatest, so he makes them so they can actually wield lightsabers, but they can't exude the Force, so they can't throw people, but they can fucking chop people. So imagine a whole shit ton of stormtroopers that can wield lightsabers and blasters all at the same time.
That's not healthy.
Yeah. And they're on a hidden moon base that later gets destroyed, so they don't actually do anything.
That's something I'm looking forward to seeing in the new movie. I want to see somebody with a blaster and a lightsaber.
Finn, we've seen it.
Yeah.
Finn has it.
Like, at the same time, though? Yeah. Just
in the newest TV spot, you actually see him. And then later on, which is super awesome, you see the brought back from even this one where General Grievous' bodyguards, the crazy robots with one red eye, but they have two eyes, whatever, freezing them, half a Terminator, have those staffs that have the electrodes at the end, action block lightsabers.
Yeah.
There's a thing called a vibroblade in the Knights of the Old Republic. Dirty. Yeah, that have basically, they're made of a special material. It's the same material that the handle of the lightsaber is made out of that can, that basically can be cut in half, but it can actually contain the material. And that's set to a certain frequency where it vibrates. So it doesn't look like it's moving, but it is moving so fast it actually can stop the blade of a lightsaber without being cut in half. And those are very popular. But these ones are a little different. They're in the newest TV spot for Force Awakens. You actually see a First Order clone trooper fighting Finn. Finn comes at him all fucking rage happy with the fucking blue lightsaber. And pink! It gets stopped by one of these. And you see the electricity bouncing off the thing. I was like, oh...
I have not seen the new TV spots yet.
Oh, sorry, spoilers.
That's not, you can't spoil a TV spot.
No, Cody can.
I can't. I'll find a way to
spoil the movie. That'll be one thing. Spoiling a TV spot's not a big deal. Yeah. I don't pay to see a TV spot.
Well, technically, you do.
Well, no.
Ipso facto, in a way, you kind of do.
Because you pay for the TV service.
And then, yeah. And then if you pay for internet and watch on the internet, you know what I mean, you cunts. You don't pay directly for it.
Yeah.
Where if I were to ruin the movie for you and you paid directly to see it, then I guess if you saw it before, I can't spoil it for you. But if I was going to spoil ahead before you saw it, that would be a spoiler. So there's a whole, like I was saying, the clones are all over this fucking thing, which makes me think, I wonder if, because Finn is, they say Finn is a stormtrooper in this. He's a First Order stormtrooper. It doesn't still make sense to me.
He's in disguise.
Clint said that I didn't watch it yet because I'm trying to stay away from lots of stuff for it. I'm watching the TV spots, but there was an interview or something where they're talking about on the Disney Channel. They're talking about those characters and the new characters. And obviously, we don't need to. Who's Han Solo? If you don't know, you probably shouldn't be watching these movies. I'm going to start with 7. That's it. That's where I'm going to start. I mean, technically, you started in the middle because you started with 4, but that was really the beginning. Anyways. They talked about how he was a stormtrooper that failed. I was like, it just doesn't make sense that, not because he's black, that's not what I'm saying, is why would he, like, what mission would he have that he failed as a stormtrooper? It's literally just being a stormtrooper. You know what I mean?
Stormtroopers fail all the time.
Yeah, like, they can't.
If they got rid of failed stormtroopers, well,
that's why they have the new visors. Because I don't know if you saw or not, with the new visors, the eyepiece is 1, so they probably can see better, but they're shooting the shit out of people, and they aren't missing. Like, and then there's a bunch of them, but there's some death going on in those new trailers.
Well, I don't think the original ideal was for them to be shitty shots.
You don't want them to be like...
You just didn't want
the movie would be short if Luke, Han, Obi-Wan, Chewie, and Evan got to the Death Star for the first time to rescue Leia, and they all got shot really easily. The movie would be like, oh, we messed up.
Vader wins.
We were planning for 3 of these, and the heroes are dead. We win?
Can we use that Finn guy yet?
Yeah. Anybody? What was Lando guy you had him? No, okay. He's just a scoundrel. But yeah, so...
what about the Ewoks? Anybody think the Ewoks carry a movie on their own?
Technically, Ewoks weren't even thought of until they're prepping for the third movie and realized they didn't have the budget for a bunch of Chewbaccas running around, as Joe would say. Or Wookiees, as non-racists would say.
Wow.
Species, is that better? They're not really. Yeah. I guess they could be a race. Race of aliens.
I was just using a micism.
I know.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
But yeah, space dogs. If you don't know, the original idea of Endor was going to be... Endor was a forest moon who is inhabited by Wookiees, which is where...
Not tree bears.
Yeah, not tree bears. That's where you would have met more of Chewie's family for the first time. They would have gone there and used them to fight against the
it would have made more sense because Chewie would have been there. We're like, hey, need help. And they'd be like, all right.
And then instead they make tree bears who are worshiping a god who looks a lot like C-3PO.
C-3PO.
Yeah. Well, it was in that, but they had a thing. They're like, hey. Because I don't know if you know this or not. C-3PO, there's a lot of ones that look like him out there. Like you see one at the beginning of episode 4 anyways. Plus the episode 2, you see one.
So, as somebody who's never seen any of the animated stuff, should I watch any of the animated stuff?
Watch the Clone Wars miniseries, the one by Genndy Tartakovsky.
It's pretty. I've only seen parts of it. It's a couple of episodes. It's pretty good.
It's official. It's the official. They made it officially in canon to link the Attack of the Clones to Revenge of the Sith because they wanted to tell the story of what happened during the Clone Wars.
Oh my God.
So, and it's hand drawn. It's not computer like the newer ones are. Like the movie I had in here was the Clone Wars movie that led to this newer series that happened after Revenge of the Sith.
Oh, okay. So Vader's in it?
Yeah, Vader's in that. That one's more of not in timeline wise. That one happened. It's still during the Clone Wars, but it has nothing to do with this. They wanted to expand on it, so another guy came in. And that's when the series got super fucking weird because they started throwing in like the Force is actually magic throughout the galaxy and was born from this one planet. It's fucking dumb. That's why I stopped watching. I was like, well, this is outlandish. I will give you Metachlorians. All right, fine, whatever. But a planet...
Only because George Lucas said
But a planet where these like this overlord and his son and daughter, I think they were, can manipulate the Force so much they can actually transform into animals. I was like, I'm done with this. Like, I don't want this anymore.
Like, that's pretty bad.
Cody's like, I found my limit.
Yeah, I was like...
Well, I know, this is it. Yeah. I know like a year ago, the cartoon show was... like advertising heavy that Vader was going to be on it for the first
time.
That
was Rebels, I do believe, is the one that Vader showed up in. The new series. Was Rebels. That one any good? Yeah. I haven't watched it because I don't like the art style. And the it's fact that one of the heroes, uses a slingshot and a lightsaber. Yeah, you said that out loud, and I'm correct about that. He's being trained as a Jedi. He's a Padawan, and he uses a lightsaber and a slingshot. Not like, I'm going to pick stuff up with the Force and throw it. An actual fucking laser slingshot. That he uses with two fucking hands. Even though he can wield a lightsaber, he can obviously manipulate the Force. He should be able to pull back if he was going to use a slingshot, be able to pull back a slingshot and shoot it with the Force. But no, he actually, you see him, it drives me fucking insane. And the fact he uses a slingshot.
Yeah.
Where he could use, I don't know, what's that thing called? A blaster and a lightsaber. So don't be dumb. Yeah. And I don't like the art style because it's that shitty, blocky... animated CG stuff. Same reason I don't like the Turtles.
Popular now for
I've watched a bunch of episodes of the new Turtles show and I enjoy it. The art still drives me fucking
insane.
It's
not as bad as the Star Wars one though.
No, oh God, no.
No, it's because I've watched a lot of the new episodes of the Turtles stuff and it's still like this it's the proper like spirit of them. You know what I mean?
The art
is a little weird, but it's not like.
And I've heard some people tell me that. The Rebels is actually really good, but I can't get over the slingshot thing.
There's a couple insane. Batman cartoons where the Fear of the Batman really was, bad. Where I've heard it was awesome, but I'm like I'm not watching that. Yeah, it looks
Fear
awful.
Of the Batman was the number one with the super long ridiculous cowls and the fact that when he wasn't wearing the cowl, his face was like a different shape.
I don't even read Batman comic books with the super long cowl.
Other than the ones with drawn by Tim Sale, but
yeah.
Long Halloween and
well, that one's not too bad, but there's other ones where you.
Oh, the Neil Gaiman ones were ridiculous. Neil Gaiman literally was like, those were weapons. They're like they even like bend a little bit.
Charges at people like a bull and shit.
When he flies in, he's like head down, spear,
fat bull,
but it doesn't kill him. He just wounds him.
Shish kebab.
No, but like not through here. Like goes through a leg and picks him up. Like oh my leg.
He's just sleeping.
Batman, his entrails are hanging from your cowl.
No,
he doesn't need those. Like his pancreas.
Let's go to sleep. Like me. Wakes up. Like me.
But Batman needs his pancreas. I mean spleen. Yeah.
Anything else on the Star Wars front?
I'm really excited about...
Let's rate these ones. This one we just watched.
3.5.
I will give it a 3.
I'll give it a 3.5.
Yeah.
I like this one a lot more than the other ones.
There's a lot more to like about this one. The smaller stories still suffer from the same writing and same idea of previous episodes.
I thought even those were improved. Like, yeah. I could see why you don't like them, but I felt like they made enough improvements.
Yeah, they weren't as bad as the first two. They're nothing compared to like the... obviously, OG.
Get ready for a bunch of fours on this next
fours
three
and
weeks.
Fives, like a bunch of fives.
Yeah,
CG was better. It's still not great.
There was parts of it that were like, you're like, oh, it's really good, and then you see those goddamn clone troopers.
Yeah,
when you could like like Mike was saying, where they're just like standing there and talking. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They just like that uncanny valley is not even a thing. Like it's if not you showed me like
a shot of like hundreds of them battling, I'm okay.
Yeah.
But if like it's just aerial shots? Two standing there talking to Obi-Wan, it's like just have the person stand there.
Exactly. So like, you don't need
the only one you need to have that needs to be him needs to be the dude that didn't have his helmet on.
Yeah.
But even the ones with their in the pre X-Wings, and you see them, they're wearing the helmets that you can see their faces. You just have to have the dude in the helmet.
Yeah.
And just make him, just superimpose him twice. It's in a state, it's the picture, the video, other than the fact when they turned and looked at him, but like they were stationary.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need to be CG'd. I was like, why is that a thing? And then the rest of the time, if it's like two dudes, like two clone troopers or whatever standing there, just make them dudes in the armor.
Yeah.
Just make it practical at that point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you don't need to do what they did in the OG trilogy where they had hundreds of them lined up and then they just took them in like that, like later on in the expanded ones. But like, you just had them there. Like I get that that's expensive. The background ones that are out of focus, you can make them CG.
Yeah.
It's the dudes like that hands him his fucking saber. I was like, how does this look so bad next to a believable giant lizard?
Yeah.
Like that lizard looked real-ish. Like not as good as like if it were out now, but like looks good.
Yeah.
But then you see like this person, which by the way, we know what a human being's supposed to look like and move like, doesn't even look like a human being. His like arms bend three times. I was like, Jesus, what is wrong with you? Why are you so bad at this right now?
But the action sequences were more plentiful and yeah. much, much better, especially the lightsaber duels. There were so many more.
So many in this one. Like, so this one better. Outweighed. I think this one alone by far had more than the original trilogy,
yeah.
but had more than both the other two movies, including Attack of the Clones, which the whole end of that movie was lightsaber battles because it was just a bunch of Jedi just fucking bitches up.
I still think the first two movies basically could have been obviously one. Changed. One tweaked, movie. But that should have been the first one. This should have been the second one. We should have had a third one.
With just Vader.
With Vader.
Taking over the Empire.
Like another battle with Obi-Wan or the last, yeah. you know.
Well, no, because Obi-Wan was on.
Well, not even. Oh, but it could have been like the, you know, the first couple Rebels and maybe like a Jedi or something like that that we had.
I could see like.
There's something they could have done. Yeah,
they, like you know the beginning mean? Of like, the Rebels. Like where yeah. did they come from?
Well, that's what but
this,
the thing is like
this whole trilogy, the whole arc of this trilogy could have been done in two movies and then had a super badass climax to it, you know, but.
Fair enough.
But that had stretched out that goddamn love story.
Yeah.
Oh, we fell in love.
It literally could have been like.
Pedophile bitch.
The whole first half of the first movie could have been 14, just getting Anakin free and then going through the training. You could first flash forward a little bit.
Yeah, first like 30 minutes. Yeah. Maybe 45 minutes. These movies are 2.5 hours long.
But this movie literally could have, like, the whole movie could have just been part two. And then a dope ass finale with Vader in it.
The only problem with that is you lose Darth Maul fighting Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan.
They could have made him. They could have tweaked it and had him live. You know, and had him come back. Like,
well, because in the training, it should have been the training would have been Obi-Wan and Anakin as it was. But I mean, I'm just saying you would have lost that really because you needed that scene to kill off Qui-Gon Jinn.
Well, they could have done it. Well, you know what I mean? He could have just won, and then Obi-Wan had to like protect Anakin or something. And you know, there's 100 different things they could have done that would have just sped up those first two movies into one.
I agree.
And then give us a part three. Let's make a part three. Let's just assume that these were just two movies, and we'll make then the proper part three.
You also got to think, okay. though. Think about this, though. So this ends. Obviously, Vader becomes Vader. So he's born as the robot Vader, as we know love from the other ones.
Badass.
Luke and Leia are born. Choking.
Yeah.
Right? There's 18 years difference between episode 3 and episode 4.
Mm-hmm.
That's not an odd number. I didn't make that up. It's literally how it works. So we've said this before. I do want to know how Vader gets so feared.
Yeah, that
as the mass public throughout the galaxies.
That could in those 18 years
was
well. I mean, I'll give it a little bit of credit. You can jump to the conclusion that they're really, theoretically, all the Jedi are dead.
Oh, yeah,
so the
definitely.
Only people that can actually wield the Force are these now mythical Sith lords, the two of them. So, I mean, obviously, word's going to get around that this dude's Force choking people out.
Yeah, but I want to see him, like, doing it so it's like that mythos is, like, the only people who, like, someone's like, I seen it, and like, oh, I think you're drunk, dummy. And like,
you could literally do it in what Mike wants, which is the beginning of the Rebels, and it shows, it could be like 5-10 years after the
third
movie. They could
have dropped them on a planet, like a really populated area, and just have them kill everyone in front of, you know what I mean? Like,
he doesn't even really have to kill everyone. He literally just has to be like, where are these rebel scum, and just like force
choke
people.
Just indestructible as fuck and let people live.
And then kills, fucking blaster.
He does that a few times. Word starts to spread.
Yeah. And
that's
then
what
that's
I want to see, though.
How the rebels come about.
I'm telling
about.
You, dude, that could have been part 3.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what happens in the Rebels TV show, because he is technically in season 2.
Nah.
But, and it's called the Rebels, so like.
Yeah, but make it a movie. Come on now.
Is it even part of canon anymore?
Oh, it is, yeah.
It is still?
Yeah.
What is part of canon now? It's the first three. It's
the
Rebels,
first three. The prequel Rebels, the Clone Wars, first set series.
Not the second one.
Not the second one. Not the CG one, but the hand drawn one. Well, some of it was CG, but anyways, a few of the books that are still out or that are coming out too.
That are coming out, because a lot of those take place after. So you have then the original trilogy.
Anything that takes, I think they said anything that takes place. Book wise, other than new ones, other that take place after Return of the Jedi, majority of those don't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. So the real expanded universe where you go away and you learn more about a lot of the nonsense characters, like I don't know, that'd be interesting to look up to see if like the X-Wing books, which have to focus around Biggs. Darklighter, if those are canon, because
they don't really involve
Luke or Leia
characters.
Or Han Solo. Yeah, they're not like Luke's mentioned in a couple of them, but it's about it's about a squadron.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
So,
any of the video games like Knights of the Republic,
Knights of the Republic, we don't officially know yet
because it takes place thousands of years.
Yeah,
before.
So that could be lore still. So that could be like back in the day. You're not going to really see that, even though people would want to see like a live action version.
I know, unfortunately, that Shadows of the Empire isn't considered part of the.
Shadow of the Empire is not. Force Awakens or Force Unleashed is not.
Yeah.
Because we know that.
I actually enjoyed Shadows of the Empire. That was such a fun game.
Yeah.
And it was such a different character to work with that was kind of like Han Solo, but still not.
Yeah. But like majority of the video games are not. I mean, obviously scrapped some of them.
Yeah.
That could have been canon, like Star Wars 1313.
Could have been canon.
Could have been, because it's just Boba Fett's origin, like, other than the fact we saw his origin, but, like, his becoming...
Like, what happened between
his,
you know, Jango Fett dying
and him becoming the guy you see...
Yeah.
Kind
of doesn't even really
in,
have
you know?
To be all that. It literally, it's just, like...
Just him training to become a mercenary.
Yeah, these are missions that he's done, yeah.
Mercenary stuff,
which would actually lead to the fact of why he's more badass than
everyone thinks he is,
than what I think he is.
Yeah. But yeah. Book wise, Heir to the Empire, Heir to the Jedi. Those ones are all the new ones. So Aftermath is.
There's a book that also came out that picked up directly after A New Hope, but had nothing to do with Luke, Leia, or Han. But it was an in-canon book that recently came out. I can't remember which
Aftermath.
One that was. Was that Aftermath?
Or no, Aftermath's the one after Return. Well, I know... Well, Heir to the Jedi takes place right after A New Hope. That one focuses on Luke. Leia's in it, but focuses
on
Luke.
There's also one that's
that one's on there.
Not focused on the main cast that gives you more of the Rebel story.
I thought they killed all of those off.
Because this one was released... And advertised as in canon after, like, recently. Like, after the new Star Wars started getting made and everything.
Because there's a bunch. I can probably look it up.
You can probably look it up. Yeah, I think I may know which one you're talking about. The cover is two people standing on... and they're not Luke or Leia.
Oh, the one with the glowing green eye or whatever, right? Or yellow eye?
Excuse me. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's what it is. I want to put a side note as if anybody works at Amazon, please, please... link those to WhisperSync because there's nothing I hate more. I want to be able to read it and listen to it on my way to work. I really wanted to get into these books, but I can't because there's no WhisperSync. So please do it. And, oh, and stop doing this bullshit where you like the Dark Tower series books 1 through 3, WhisperSync. Book 4, go fuck yourself. Books 5 through 7, WhisperSync. What the fuck? Stop doing that. It's annoying. But yeah. Is there anything else? There were no other real announcements this week for Star Wars. We have started to see the TV spots that are coming out, which are pretty badass. And they add a little bit more story to the characters, even though you still don't really know what's going on.
Shattered Empire is the one you're talking about, right? No, that's the comic book. That's the comic book. There's Aftermath is a novel. Holy shit, Uprising is... Is that really part of... That's canon? I'm looking at the actual official list of canon stuff. Wow, really? Star Wars Uprising? It's fucking crazy. Sorry, got distracted there. It's cool. This actually lists them in order of canon. So not like just released,
chronologically?
But actually chronology in order of canon, not like when it was released. So like Rogue One is December 2016, which is obviously the one from next year. And that one takes place before A New Hope, so it's listed in there for New Hope. Looking for newer ones. Rise of the Empire? Is that the one?
I don't know. I can't remember.
Yeah, without the pictures, because it's just a Wikipedia listing that you have there. Without pictures, I can't really remember what it was. I actually think I have it saved to my wish list. Yeah, under books. Under future books that I would like to read. But
no, I think I was thinking of Aftermath.
Without
That's the one that has the Star Destroyer.
Star Destroyer.
Right. I think, sorry. Yeah, I think that's the one I was talking about. Pretty sure.
Oh, there is one thing I wanted to point out for all of these Star Wars movies. I pointed it out while we were watching this one. Why does every droid have to say something? Like, it vocalizes...
To make it funny for kids.
But it, like, vocalizes... Like, you literally have the droids at the beginning of this one they transform into, like, little spaceships that, you know, little starfighters. And you can hear them talking to each other. Why do you need that? Same thing when you get to Empire Strikes Back. You hear the...
Dark Disciples, is that the one I'm thinking of? The one you're thinking of.
Yeah, I think that's the one I'm thinking of, yeah.
You're thinking of Aftermath.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So go ahead and continue. I'll look at the canon.
But, you get to Empire Strikes Back, and you have the one droid that gets popped down on Hoth, and it's just sitting there going, nah, 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 nah.
Yeah.
Not nah, 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 nah. It's like, why? I don't understand why we need every single droid. And they're always like kind of
goofy
noise.
Cartoony noises too.
Exactly.
Like, I don't know. That's for the kids.
It's for the kids, I know, but it's like why? Why?
Fuck
why?
You kids. You get no enjoyment out of this.
The little mouse cleaner things are just...
Well, they do that in the original ones though too.
No, they do. And I know that they keep it keeps the flow going from
and
movie
I
movie,
know this is a common complaint, but it is really weird how vastly different the two trilogies look.
It is. I can understand it though.
Like I mean, get it because you have better graphics and stuff, but it's like I think they could have tried harder to make it look a little bit more similar.
Well, I think a lot of it could have been that they use more practical effects. And that to me, that's their downfall with a lot of these.
That's
movies,
where JJ is going to knock it out of the park.
Is that they literally were everything. Like, oh, hey, these graphics are so awesome, we're going to throw all this shit in there. And when practical effects would have just looked nicer. Cody?
So I'm looking at the canon. I was wrong. The Genndy Tartakovsky Clone Wars is not canon.
Okay.
The CG'd one is. So the movie that I have on here... with Ahsoka and everything, and the shittier, well, it divulged into city, it was awesome at first. That's actually canon.
Okay.
So the shitty, hopefully it's like certain things they just pick out, like the whole magic thing, gone. But that does mean that there is a crazy-ass fucking Mandalorian story that takes place, where there's the planet Mandalore, whatever it's called, and then it's a moon, and on the moon it's just filled with evil fucking Mandalorians, and the planet's full of peaceful ones, and it's fucking, they're at war. That's pretty dope. That was a later one too. So in order, I'm not gonna read all of them, but I'll give you the highlights of ones we know. So obviously the whole thing starts with Phantom Menace, shocker, Attack of the Clones, the Clone Wars movie and TV show, Revenge of the Sith, Dark Disciple was actually right after Revenge of the Sith.
So is that a Vader uprising story kind of?
I don't know. It doesn't really have a description in here. I don't even know if that one's books, but I just know the cover looks dope. Rise of the Empire is right before a book called A New Dawn.
Yeah.
Then the Han Solo prequel movie that's still rumored kind of to be a thing. Rebels, which is the new cartoon. Rogue One, which is the prequel movie, comes out next year. And then A New Hope. So all that happens in between. So that is the Vader era.
Okay.
So all that could happen in Times of Vader. And there's other stuff in there. It's just like Kanan, or I don't know if it's Kanan or Kanan, the last Padawan. That's a comic book that's running right now. And I think he's actually in, he's the main Jedi that's in the Rebels series, if I'm not mistaken. There's a book called Tarkin, which is about Grand Moff Tarkin. Lords of the Sith, which sounds really funny when you say it out loud like that. Rise of the Empire, A New Dawn, like I said. And then this is what I thought was interesting. Something called Battlefront Twilight Company. It's a novel. Is canon. It's newer. Comes out this month, actually, at one point. The Princess Leia comic book, the Darth Vader comic book, then Heir of the Jedi, the book I was telling you about. He, according to this, all comes in that after New Hope, before Empire Strikes Back. But you have the Lando book, you have the Chewbacca book, the canon, right now the running Marvel Star Wars comic books. Those ones are in between there. So they all happen, which I knew, before Empire Strikes Back. A young adult novel called Weapon of the Jedi and Smuggler's Run, which I'm going to guess is about Han Solo.
Nah, sounds right.
Because it does. And then you have in between Empire Strikes. There's nothing in between Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi as of right now. So those, because really those two movies, like Lord of the Rings style, back to back, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, boom, boom. There's a little bit of time in between, but it's like they're pretty fucking close. Then there's like a shit ton of stuff that came out in September from like the Uprising video game, a couple young adult novels. Another Aftermath, which is the other novel, Shattered Empire, which is the one that's running, the little miniseries that's running right now, Force Awakens, Battlefront. So something that happens in Battlefront actually takes place after The Force Awakens, which is weird because according to what I know, the DLC they're releasing for free from it is the Battle of Jakku, which is what leads to the wrecked
Star Destroyer
on the planet. I think. I mean, from what I know. I mean, I don't know because I haven't played it yet because it's not out yet. So that happens, and then episode
Is there a single-player storyline to Battlefront? No.
It has a story in it, but it's not like a single-player storyline. Okay. It's like a there's solo, like, survival, which actually has story in it, like, but it's like nothing plot-wise. It's just little stuff that goes on.
Yeah, okay.
And then the battles have to do with it. Because you fight through a lot of the classic battles, like on Hoth, and you fight on Endor.
Yeah.
Which is fucked up. They have AT-ATs on Endor. Jesus. And the speeder bikes, by the way, are hilarious to drive around in. Yeah, and terrifying. Because your booster does not just turn on and off. It's just on, and then it runs out. I was like, oh, fuck me, rock.
Treat.
So yeah, that's interesting to see canon. So nowhere in there does it say the X-Wing books. That kind of sucks. None of the Rogue Squadron stuff. So that's out of there too. All the new Marvel comic books are in there. The new Marvel comic books. So yeah, interesting.
Cool. So you guys have your reading list now.
Yep.
I have a reading list for sure's. Well, I read Heir to the Jedi. That was really good because you got to see Luke before he was a badass, right after it, because it takes place right after, essentially right after the events of A New Hope.
And what you've said from because you mostly did it through listening to it, to the audio version of it. It has a lot of sound effects.
Yeah,
stuff.
It's a radio play. There's actual voices in it. Yeah,
super awesome to listen to, like, actual duels with the
lightsabers come on,
and
there's blasters, and there's dogfights and stuff in it. It's really cool.
Yeah.
And, like, R2's in it, C-3PO in it, and they actually make the noises. Like, C-3PO talks like C-3PO. It's pretty fucking cool.
I honestly would say if you love Star Wars, I haven't gone through it yet, but if you love Star Wars, try... You love reading, try the Audible stuff. A lot of it is such a good production, such as this.
Go to the Mubaro.
That you'll be hooked from the moment that you start the book. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good. And it's he's less whiny Luke in this and more of like you can see the man coming out. He makes decisions. They're not always the greatest ones in the world, but he hasn't mastered use of the lightsaber yet, because obviously he learns a lot with Yoda, but he learns what he got from Obi-Wan. He uses a little bit in there, like he deflects blasters a little bit with it, like he did with the training droid. But he's by far nowhere like he is at Empire Strikes Back. Like he's not there yet. Obviously he hasn't met Yoda at that point, but he's at the point where he has the ability to. So, and he's definitely not Return of the Jedi Luke, where he's just master of his fucking domain and just murders everything that he wants. But he has restraint, unlike certain people who are all black.
Yeah.
He has restraint. He didn't have to kill all. He could have killed all of those people on Jabba's barge. Instead, he did it with a laser blaster and rode off with his friends. He didn't directly do it. They're all scumbags, anyways. Yeah, so
that's that.
Yeah, Wikipedia has a great list of canon stuff. I had a bunch of stuff pulled up about the trailer we watched, but I'm not gonna.
No,
we'll talk about that later.
Whenever, when it's closer to the movie.
Yeah,
it's a mystery. You guys don't know what movie we're talking about, and it's not Star Wars.
Yeah,
boom!
All right, you wanna wrap it up?
Yeah, we're done. Ooh. Oh, over an hour. This is some bullshit. I'm just kidding.
Under an hour 30. Amazing.
I can keep going.
I don't want to.
I can antagonize him and keep him going.
I know. You can ask a shitty fucking question.
Hey, it wasn't a shitty question.
It wasn't a shitty question.
It was not a shitty question because it's a problem that I've always had.
You knew the answer was going to take it another hour if you wanted it to.
But I wanted a genuine answer to it.
Let's wrap it up.
He was playing so bad right there. It was funny. All right. So that's it for this week's Comes Naturally. We are...
Joe.
Mike,
I am Cody, and as normal, you guys just came naturally.